Okay, we're going to get started. I was kind of waiting for a high sign. I just got it. You're at the Tag You're It panel at South by Southwest. If you're on the wrong plane, now is the time to deplane. Excellent. No one got up. So my name is Heath Rowe, and I'm a research manager at DoubleClick. And one of the things that we're looking at is how ads and tags might actually relate and work together. So that is our topic today, tags. And before we get into the panel proper, it might be useful to talk about what tags are. And so you might think about games. You might think about cartoon tag, freeze tag, in this case, laser tag. You might think about skin tags. You might think about Minnie Pearl and her proverbial tag. You might think about graffiti. This is a shin tag from Japan. And you might think about tags in the general sense that we at South by Southwest Interactive think about tags. If you think about all these things, though, no matter what kind of tag you're thinking about, it becomes clear that tags are a way for people to make a mark and leave an impression on the internet and the information that they use online. And that's what we're going to talk about today. To learn more, I wanted to think a little bit about a woman who made quite an impression on me. Her name is Caitlin. She's my girlfriend. We've been dating now for about a year, and we met through a site called Consummate. Now, we tell different stories about how we met through Consummating, but for me, it was because of three tags. These are the three tags that triggered my reaching out to Caitlin on Consummating and starting to message and so forth. And so I started thinking about, I never thought about tags in this way before, and second-guessed why I really was using Consummating, second-guessed how I tag things, and how I use other people's tags. And so I wanted to learn more. And I tapped three of the smartest people I know on the topic of tags, because the common things that people talk about when they talk about tags haven't really progressed that far in the last year. People talk about how tags are awesome. They talk about how tags are going to change the way, I mean, everything revolutionizes everything. And so tags are going to revolutionize how we access and organize information as a group. Tags should be consistent, some people say. It's actually a debate whether they should be emergent or consistently and centrally controlled. And just for the record, we are the tagging panel, or at least the first tag panel, so when you tag things that you do here, feel free to use the official tag. Or not. You can use your own tag. On the panel, though, we have Ben Brown, who's the founder of Consummating, which is a CNET property. And this is not purely a thank you for introducing me to Caitlin. They actually do a lot of great work with tags and have thought about tags in some new ways. We also have George Oates, who's a lead designer at Flickr, and she's going to tell some stories about how that property looks at their members' use of tags and what they can learn from tags. And then lastly, we have Thomas Vanderwall, the principal of InfoCloud Solutions. And Thomas is on the panel because I love this picture. If you Google him, this is the most easily found picture and the most widely used picture. But you get a sense of what he's reading, at the very least. But he's also been credited with coining the term folksonomy and InfoCloud, and has a really good contextual kind of comparative look at how people use tags across the internet. So that's where to contact me if you want to for any reason. You can tag me moderator. In terms of process for the rest of this panel, each panelist is going to take about 7 to 9 minutes, maybe 10, talking about what they think about tags, what they've learned from tags, and how they're using tags in their own individual work. And then we'll just all talk. It's not going to be too structured. We'll have questions at the end. We'll talk amongst ourselves and so forth. So without any further ado, I think we're first going to go to George Oates from Flickr.
Thank you. As Heath said, I'm the designer at Flickr.com, which is almost certainly the best photo site in the world. Is it on? Hello? Okay. Heath asked me to give you a sort of a bird's eye view of the way tags are sort of working on Flickr. So I just put together a few sort of points about the sorts of behavior that we're seeing around tagging, trying to tie them to a few examples, just to give you a picture of the landscape. Flickr's big. There's over 400 million photos. And we're getting about a million uploads a day. And if you break that down, that's about 3,000 new photos every minute. This is a lot of information. We've got over 9 million unique tags in the system. So two people can use the same unique tag to describe their two photos. So that's a picture of the information that we're dealing with. In terms of structure, I kind of think that there's no such thing as information architecture anymore in this sort of system. And I like to use analogies whenever I can, and I think termite mounds work really nicely here. The termites, i.e. Flickr members, just build up these structures that crumble away after time, have all different shapes and sizes. It's not structured at all by any overarching body. But luckily, everybody likes talking about the weather. So this is a graph of all the photos tagged with beach over a certain time frame. And just from this graph, you can see that there's winter there. It gets cold in December, October, December. This is just an inference that you can make based on this sort of data. This is a snip of the hot tags that we have on Flickr that I grabbed, I think, on Thursday. The week before there was a lunar eclipse, and it turns out people from all over the world like looking at the moon when it's a lunar eclipse. And you can see the tags I've highlighted there in yellow, they're all different languages. So people are sort of coming together with this one subject and tagging it in all sorts of ways. One of the obvious uses for tags is to connect pictures together from any one event. South by Southwest is a good example. People who have a shared language around what to tag something collect their photos together using tags. I thought this was a mildly interesting graph of the same sort as beach. It's photos tagged with the word gates. And we weren't quite sure what that big spike was until we realized that there was actually a piece of art in New York City called The Gates by an artist called Christo. And luckily we had 60 or so people there on the day that it opened, and suddenly you see a huge spike in the activity that isn't about, you know, a gate of a front yard. It's actually about a piece of art. the other tags around events can also sort of burst out into actual news or become newsworthy. There's been a number of examples of this in the history of Flickr, but the one I wanted to show was the recent Paris riots. Last March, I think it was, Flickr actually was a source of instant news about what was going on in Paris. It was extremely dramatic photography and so immediate and present. It was kind of wild to watch. But I just wanted to call out a few tags. I mean, there's the obvious ones here: Paris, France, demonstration, police, riot, and protest. But as time went on, the owner of the photo added a few other tags to his photo. And these tags are about marking your photo as popular in the system. So this is a language that the Flickr members themselves have developed to indicate, for example, this photo has been viewed 1,000 times, to 2,000, to 3,000, and has been favorited a certain level. And there's actually a whole sort of culture on Flickr about how popular you are, and, you know, this sort of language just kind of evolved on its own. Tags are also useful for learning. This is a gorgeous photo of an azalea, and I wouldn't have any clue for a start that it was an azalea or it was this particular one unless somebody had tagged their photo with the actual scientific name. And I just kind of wanted to call out this as an example of, again, sort of rules and structure that's being created from below, not by the Flickr team. This is an example of a guide from a group called Wildflower Field Guide, North America. And this is a graphic that they have on the group page to instruct their members about how they want the wildflower photos to be tagged. So you can see if you publish a photo of, you know, a red flower with four petals, you need to tag it in that certain way. And this group is actually really strict about keeping up with that stuff. They really want a very strong structure and a searchable, detailed structure of wildflowers in the States. I just thought that was a cool example of how members are educating each other with regards to the language that they want to use. There's also the concept of attraction in tags. And we have this thing we call clustering. I pulled out the example of lions here. You can see those four rows. They're different types of lions in the world. And these clusters are formed by people using more than one tag on one photo at one time. So you can see, you know, there's obviously lions in zoos all the way down to lions in China. And these sort of clusters simply form by the way people tag their own photos and associations between words on those photos. There's also the idea of imitation or mimicry amongst Flickr members. DILO actually stands for Day in the Life Of, and this was a really old Flickr group that started back in 2004. Basically, a day in the life means to pick a day every 6 months or so, and then every member of the group takes a photo or photos of that day in their life, like this person with their doggy in their fridge. We have related tags too, which is similar to clusters, but clusters are denser than the relationships that you see here. But you can sort of see that basically the people who are in this group are nerds because they, you know, computer is a related tag, and often things are done in the morning to contribute to DILO. Another idea is that of infection. If you choose to, you can introduce a word or introduce some language into the tag space. Quite some time ago, I was commuting on a train back from Sunnyvale, and we were feeling a bit ridiculous, so we started making stupid faces at each other. And I had this another member suggest to me that we should start a group around people making ridiculous faces. So I did. But I also introduced a tag called Do Your Worst. And I didn't really propagate it. I mean, I sort of told my friends about it because it's funny. This is my best friend in Adelaide, Soph, doing her very worst. She's actually a really gorgeous woman, but here she's really not. But I didn't really try too hard to infect, but just posted a few little seeds around the place. And then all of a sudden we've got people from all over the world doing their worst. And I just love that. I think it's hilarious. I don't know any of these people. One of the other main points I wanted to make is about what you can infer from tags. And there's a ton of information that you can infer without actually looking at the photos. So this is an example of my tag cloud on Flickr. These are all tags that I've created to describe my photos. And without seeing any of the pictures at all, you can infer certain information about me, like I spend a lot of time in San Francisco. That's where I live, take a lot of photos. I commute a lot, or used to, and I like taking photos of myself, like everyone else on Flickr, it seems. But without even seeing pictures, again, you can guess certain things about me. This is some analytics that were made into a piece of art, in my opinion, by a guy called Jim Baumgartner, who makes really awesome visualizations of data. But what he did was he sucked down all the photos tagged with brunch in any one year, and he mapped them on this gorgeous sort of horizon line. And you can see there's a few dips and troughs in the times that people choose to have their brunch. And you'll notice that in winter, it's later than in summer because I guess people don't want to get out of bed when it's cold outside. But again, you don't see the photos, but you can still understand what's going on. This is a cool little project by the Yahoo Research Lab in Berkeley called World Explorer. I wanted to call this out because it's interesting to me that people tag their photos with certain things without really realizing how it informs people's knowledge of a certain area. This is a map of my neighborhood in San Francisco, and I just wanted to call this tag out. It's Zeitgeist, which is a crazy bar in San Francisco where people go and drink a lot of beer. And when they're taking photos with their camera phone and tagging it with Zeitgeist, I bet you $10 they don't care whether it appears on a map of San Francisco or not. But when other people look at that map of San Francisco, they can see that there's some information about there that wasn't necessarily intended. actually, Dan Catt gave a great example about using the tag rock pool in a similar way. So if you tag your photos with rock pool, you don't necessarily think that you're actually informing the coastline of any country. But if you query the data in the right way, you actually get a picture of the coastline or some bars. The other interesting thing is this thing called machine tags. This is a feature that we released sort of formally on Flickr a couple of months ago, but it had actually been being used for quite some time before that. So machine tags are just made of sort of Cody-looking nerdy stuff, which is a namespace predicate equals value. And here are some examples of the slightly more nerdy ones. You can see the geolat and geolon in that list there are actually a latitude and longitude, i.e. the location of the photo that you've taken. These tags were in use for quite some time until we released our maps feature. And when we did that, we just sort of sucked them all into our system and photos ended up being placed on a map. But as I said, this is a new feature and we're not quite sure where it's going to go. So we're kind of, what I'm hoping happens is that people actually create their own machine tags. You can form whatever structures you want in, as long as it follows that format. So, you know, winter clothes, leg warmers, etc. What we're doing here is creating a fluid structure that a computer can search. So I can start asking questions of data like this, and then you can throw a computer at it to do searches. Compare that with this sort of folksonomic, loose, termite-moundy sort of structure, and computers have a really hard time sort of processing through millions and millions of tags, but when you do it this way, the process is quicker. So I had to throw in a cheesy Venn diagram because they're so funny. But I think what's happening here is taxonomy is sort of broken if you're talking about social systems. It just doesn't work. There's no top-down, you must tag photos with this. And Tom came up with the excellent idea of a folksonomy, which is what's happening on Flickr. But I think what machine tags do is fit in the middle. So you've got this idea of some sort of structure, which is just, you know, the format. And yet it's still this free-flowing system. So, again, you throw computers at it and suddenly things become a bit more efficient than they were before. And I just wanted to end on a really nice quote. This is from a book called The Idea of Home, which is written by a teacher from New South Wales about his Ukrainian heritage. But he said, names, it seems, have their own exile or migration, their own borderlands, hideouts and disguises, their own reasons for travel. And I think that's what's going on. It's almost as if tags have a mind of their own.
Dun, dun,
dun. Dun, dun, dun. Thank you. Thank you.
Okay, and Ben will now expand on some of what he's working on.
Yes. So I am the co-founder of Consummating, which is a social network and dating site. For nerds, basically. And the origin of the site is that my co-founder and I were looking at other social networks and dating sites, and we're kind of disappointed that the way you were getting matched to potential ex-girlfriends was based on you know, your desire to have or not have children and your star sign and things like that, which really isn't how people meet or fall for each other or anything like that. It's really about the little things that you're into and how you define yourself in the world. So we felt that tags was a great way to allow people to do that. So on top of the sort of standard, you know, you have a profile, you answer questions kind of thing, we added the ability to tag yourself. So this is my profile here. You can see I've tagged myself. Animal Crossing, which is a video game I like to play. You know, Austin, I'm bearded, I like breakfast tacos, etc., etc. So that's pretty cool. So people can take a look at my profile and see the kind of things that I'm into. We also allowed other people to tag you. So here, down here, you can see all the crazy things that people have tagged me over the last couple of days. And, people use this sometimes as a as you can see, like as a poke kind of thing, just a, hey, what's up? I want to talk to you. And sometimes people send little compliments and flirty kind of things. And it's, you know, it's all free. And it's not the most useful information in the ways that George was talking about, the tags that people add, but people, it goes back and forth, and it's really, you see very interesting conversations and descriptions going back and forth that tell you about the person and tell you about how they interact with other people, stuff like that. So you can see if somebody tags people nasty things or nice things, or who's flirting with who. So we know all this stuff about you and what you like and how you define yourself. So we thought, as you're browsing around the site, we might as well show you what you have in common with the people that you find. So this is my girlfriend, and you can see that we have 5 tags in common, which is a good Austin, Burning Man, and Curb Your Enthusiasm. 3 easy things where I can start a conversation or figure out if we do have some important things in common that kind of sparks interest. So we just wanted to give, again, this is a site for geeks. So, if you are really into, Dungeons and Dragons or something and obscure 80s text adventure video games, and those are something that you really spend a lot of time on, finding that kind of person would be pretty valuable to you, especially if you are still living in your mom's basement, which I am. The sort of standard thing you do with a tag is you click it and get more things that have that tag. And we added to that, for example, I clicked the South by Southwest tag, and it doesn't just give me a list of everybody who has that tag. It gives me a list biased towards people who share other tags that I have, who, may or may not live near me. So, right here, Ming Jung, she is tagged South by Southwest, but also shares 8 of my tags and lives near me. So she's the, number one pick out of the database for people who are into South by Southwest for me. If you loaded this page, you'd get a totally different result set because you have a different set of tags. So here's another example. People who are tagged monkeys, 146 of them. And, here's somebody who's tagged monkeys who lives near me. So then we got thinking, what tags do you really, are really important in terms of these matches? So we threw out all the tags that, other people had added to you, cause you don't have any control over that and you don't want to be matched to somebody who's also tagged, asshole. and then we were looking at things like, so there 90% of the population on Consummating is tagged books. So is that really a valuable tag to, recommend somebody to? And it turns out that basically what we did was assigned a – well, so what we decided was that combinations of the tags and reasonably rare but not super rare tags were really where it was. And here's one of the little – sort of experimental interfaces that we put together to test these things out. And all this does is takes 2 tags. So I'll say coffee, which is one of my favorite examples. And there are 1,600 people tagged coffee on the site. And then say that when I drink coffee, I also like to smoke. And then it queries for the combination of those 2 things, and hopefully the internet will work. Sweet. Well, anyways, you would see it would go down to like 95 people. What we found using this kind of interface is that just 2 tags would limit the selection down really, really small. Sometimes all the way down to 10, 4, 2 people. So we put together an algorithm based on that kind of stuff, where if one person had a tag that had a matching value of 0, right? If you're the only person in the world who has that, it's
useless in terms of finding somebody else. But if 2, 3, 4, you know, up to, you know, smallish community had it, it has an increasing value, right? If you can find 20 people who share your same quirky interest, you've got a party. But then going past 20, or, you know, I can't remember what the actual cutoff was, but as the community grows and grows and grows, it becomes less valuable because, you know, you're just kind of defining everybody. And so we call that the quirkiness index of the tag. And then we ran some algorithms on the database showing, so getting everybody who had the same tags as you and then summing those quirkiness values and only showing the people who had shared a lot of quirky relationships. So what this is doing is saying, okay, you are a Dungeons and Dragons person and you're a text adventure person. And so those are two very small communities. And the people who are in both of those very small communities with you are, you know, super extra good recommendations. So here's the results of that query on the current database. And at first glance, it looks just like a group of, you know, random people. But what we found interesting about this is that, and this is my personal example, this guy right here is somebody I went to college with. This guy is somebody I went to college with. This is my best friend from when I grew up in Maryland. This is one of the other coders on Consummating. This is one of the other people, the volunteers in our community. This is my little brother. This is the guy that works at CNET with me. And there are no pre-existing relationships between us in the database. We're not like on each other's friends list or anything like that. This is purely coming up with interest, you know, we share a lot of reasonably rare interests or tags, and the database was able to pull these relationships out and suggest these people as interesting people. So that's what we're doing at Consummating. I would, if you guys aren't on it, I would get on it and tag yourself South by Southwest. I'll take this quick opportunity to announce to you guys that we're actually going to release the source code of Consummating in the next couple of weeks. Every last line of source code and the database schema and everything you need to set up your own Consummating. So keep an eye on the site for the location of that. It should be in the next, you know, month. So get your Perl programming books out. Because it's all written in Perl. So
I'm going to do essentially a carpet bombing of slides. So about 40 slides in 6 minutes, but don't clock me. Looking essentially at a variety of different places where tagging is going on, where it's a little bit new and innovative, at least for the vertical that it's in, and then get into some interesting things that are going on. And genius. So the interesting bits around tagging in its current web arrangement mostly started around social bookmarking with Delicious, and within the past year or so, we've been seeing social bookmarking getting social. And one of the places is Magnolia, it's a social bookmarking site that has groups, has discussions, so you can actually start connecting and talking about the things that you're tagging and putting in your social bookmarks beyond just finding other things of interest. And currently there's about 140, as of about 6 months ago, about 140 social bookmarking sites out on the web, and all with various different slight interpretations. Jumping into the Magnolia page for groups, this is the Apple group. It has public and private. It indicates what you're in. Looking at the top tags for this group, recent bookmarks that have been added to the Apple group, recent discussions within the Apple group, within this group, and group members. And you can do pivots and dive a little bit deeper on each of these. Moving from social bookmarking to public libraries, you're essentially able to tag your own collection within a public library. There's a few that are playing around with this, and they were realizing that their collections weren't connecting with the people that wanted the books, and public libraries were becoming disused because they were using the wrong terms in their card catalogs. So they started it opening it up to tagging by the people who actually had an interest. I'm like, hey, I found this book. I didn't understand, you know, didn't know it would be under car mechanics or other things. This book that tells me how to fix, my motorcycle or my bicycle chain. Museums are doing tagging. There's a project, it's steve.museum on the web, and it's a collective of museums that are allowing people that go and see exhibits and just regular people to start tagging the collections. One of the things they were finding was that the curators of the collections had a very different vocabulary and terminology than the people who actually had an interest in the collections that were there. So they're connecting with their audience and their completely missed audience by having terminology and terms to get people to coming in, and they're able to find threads that they hadn't noticed before, and being able to see, oh, this is not, you know, pastoral art, it's actually environmental art, and being able to curate collections around people's interests and connections they hadn't seen before. We also have Wine. Corked is a site that it's essentially you put your own collection in, things that you have an interest in buying, things that you've bought, tasted, and you can tag it. This is one of the bottles that I had and use Barry, and so I'm doing a pivot on Barry, and I could do other things that have Barry, and I can start narrowing from there. We also have music that's being tagged within Last.fm. It's a friend, David Smith, and he tags his music essentially so that his collection is easier to find things. It's like, oh, I know it was an American band, male vocalist, being able to start narrowing things down. And then sharing that. And there's conversations around music and the tags within Last.fm. Within travel, the Guardian in the UK is doing publisher tagging. So they're essentially taking all of their content and they're doing self-tagging and saying, this is UK and hotels. You can put it in the URL. You can search, sort, aggregate, being able to just hack the URL a little bit and to surface information that's relevant. We also have Real Travel, which is a travel journal. It's essentially blogs. Anybody who has an interest in traveling, they can write about their trip to Costa Rica, and they can tag their travel experiences so you can find good hotels. This one's tagged cultural immersion. And like, hey, I did a trip similar to that. Let me find other things similar. And one of the things that is coming out of all of this is that the tag terms actually matter. No matter, if you're in social bookmarking site, any type of site, tags are very personal, but then there's also the social connotation of tags. And you start taking a look at social network within Delicious, and there's social.network, social_network, social network all run together, and social-network. And how many people would think these are all the same tag? Raise your hand. Actually does make a difference. And the guess is that these all should be stemmed and pulled back together. But each of these tag variations have very different communities around them. There's academics that are gathering around, two different academic sets gathering around underscore and the hyphenation. The all run together sort of general public, as well as people who are doing social networking, not including the digital component of it. So the tags become very difficult to start stemming, ambiguating and disambiguating. You start playing with a rubber band and trying to make the circumference smaller by stretching it when you start trying to do this. It's essentially a Zen problem more than it's a computing problem. And also looking at the location and the service where people are tagging. It's what I call the 1-1-2-2 problem. We have one person, one tag, two tagging services, and they're tagging different objects in the services. And on Delicious, they are using design, and they mean visual design. Over on Magnolia, they're tagging another object and with just design, and they're meaning software design. And you can't start combining these. And if you say, oh, let me give my whole collection, let me find design stuff, it starts getting really, really difficult and messy. Not for everybody, but it's significant enough to pay attention to it. Also with tagging systems, this is mostly coming from the consulting side of my life, where you have organizations that say, we want to do tagging, or we implemented tagging, we wanted to have social tagging, and all we're getting is personal tagging. So there's a scaling and functionality that comes into play. and along the axis we have number of people tagging, and the times the object has been tagged, and a optimal line somewhere down the middle. Mileage may vary. And down in the first quadrant, we have for personal use. Everybody starts off tagging and using the services. It has to solve some personal problem. There is no social aspect to this. Once the service starts developing a little bit more, you start getting serendipity. You can explore. You can click around. Searching really isn't working. There's no real strong social aspects in putting out groups on the first day you open up a tag site and finding nobody in groups around tags. It's kind of getting at things a little bit backwards. Next is the social tagging becomes powerful. Search starts kicking in, starts working rather well. The other components where people start thinking about people having groups and other social interactions and having a shared tag, that starts playing a really strong factor in the social systems around tagging. And one of the things that's important to keep in mind is that your system is going to hit the scaling at very different points. You may have knitting still down in A, and you may have quantum mechanics, you know, just completely off the charts. And the last one is a mature system where people are doing very, very different things than you intended, and sort of having 15, 20 people in 80,000 people on your service using the service in a way that nobody else is using that service. It becomes its own model and own use case, sort of as an outlier, and it's something you didn't intend for. And so looking at the different things that people can do, essentially across the board, people can save things and tag things, point to things at the first level, and everything is covered. Refinding works rather well. It should work rather well if you're launching a system for the personal and all the way across. When you start getting into pivoting and exploring, if you don't have many people in the system, it's going to be very difficult to find, you know, what other people have tagged with quantum mechanics 2770. That just starts falling off the charts and it's not really viable. But when you get into the serendipity stage, social powerful, and the mature social sites, these things start kicking in. Search starts kicking in a little bit later. And lastly are group interactions and small group interactions. Doing a quick dive into pivots and filters. This is library thing, which you can essentially dump in your all of the books that you own, tag them, can do pivots around using tag culture, most often tagged, 10 books tagged with, in this case, culture, related tags, related subjects, and lastly, related authors. Raw Sugar does something a little bit different. Is it starts building facets by the tags that people have built. And it starts disambiguating by the tag combinations. And so if I drop in Folksonomy, it says, you know, is it a Web 2.0 thing you're interested in, or is it tagging? Is it internet? Is it software? And so you can start doing deep dives and saying, oh, yeah, this is actually what I mean. And lastly, doing a quick run through in Amazon, which is doing some rather interesting things. It's been quite hidden for many folks, but it's surfacing some interesting social components. Now, this is iPod video. It's a page from about 6 months ago and didn't have a whole lot of traffic, or about 9 months ago. And so you have, here are the objects that are tagged with iPod video. You can pivot on those. The customers using iPod video, you can look at their profiles, find other things that they've found. The products tagged iPod video are also tagged. And lastly is customers who use iPod video and the other tags that they have used. Looking at the iPod video page, customers tag this product with, we'll do a closer look. iPod, of course, cool. Christina, so maybe it's either Christina tagging it. Discomusic.com, top pick. This is the long tail, and they have about 300 products in Amazon that they've tagged. And so it's a review site. They talk about Disco Music. Anybody here use discomusic.com? It's maybe a guilty pleasure.
You all do.
But likely, you know, one of the 5,000 people, 8,000 people out in the hallway, one of them will find this of value, and they may buy something from Amazon. So it's a way of connecting your website, your recommendations easily.
Is this on here? What site is this on? This is Amazon.
Highly recommended and Schaff present. So hopefully Schaff is not looking for his presence here. One of the things that Amazon does is tagging yes, no, sort of a lazy man's tagging.
or lazy woman's tagging, or lazy people, dogs, cats, whomever may want to be tagging. And so you can add things to your tag collection. In this case, it was web design. And this is, you voted to remove the tag if you hit the minus, and they have two different interactions around the voting. Anybody think, I haven't quite figured out whether I like voting a tag off. Do people like being able to vote a tag off? Would you think it'd be helpful? Yes? Hands?
Voting other people's tags?
Yeah, voting other people's tags or not being able to see them. You don't think it's good?
How do you know about how they feel about that?
What's that?
How do you know how they feel about that?
Exactly. It's all the tagging is personal, and people are putting it on as a personal personal marker so they can get back to it. So it has some problems from that standpoint, but being able to say, yeah, I believe this is tagged. And in a moment, I'll show the other interface, which is on the same page. So lastly is getting into what's going on, which is a great introduction to the reality of tagging. And it's the Kevin Federline CD page. So we look at the tagging, talentless. And so this is the reality of tagging. When people say I want tagging on my site,
keep it together, people. Keep it together.
Let's do a pivot on talentless, and we see other things that are talentless within the Amazon site. And oddly, Paris Hilton's up there as well, and some other things. So products that are tagged talentless, and this is a plus-minus voting. We have a talentless forum, so you can talk about talentless. You have lists and guides for talentless. And talentless customer images. I don't know if there are poor customer images or images that people have photographed that are talentless photographers or things that are talentless. Products tagged talentless are also tagged. Customers who used the tag talentless. So we've got one person has tagged three products. Products not tagged talentless but should be. And this is essentially the opposite or another interface for the plus minus. And this puts, if you say yes, this should be tagged talentless, it adds that tag and it becomes part of your collection. If you say no, it doesn't really go anywhere. And personally, I like that bottom approach a little bit more. But we've looked at a lot of different tagging services and a lot of different ways of interacting with tags. And there's a group of essentially tag geeks and academics and researchers, Tag Commons, that's beginning to look at what are the social properties, what are the semantic properties of tags to move them from one system to another. A blog has been set up around it, essentially going from tagging to semantic web. So if you have an interest along those lines, it's a good place to watch and follow. And thank you.
Okay. So before we go into the Q&A, if you have questions, feel free to line up at the microphone in the center of the room. But before we start taking those questions, I have a comment and a question of my own for the panel. The comment is the tagging about KFED is actually really useful because I had no idea that there was so much rap about Fresno. And when I get home, I'm going to be listening to me some. The question, though, for the panel, it struck me, looking at the boxes and the adoption cycle as you go through the maturity curve, the most interesting thing that I think there is that different tags are being used by different groups of people. And so it's not so much that the dot versus the hyphen versus the underscore identify the content, but the people who are kind of providing the context around that. And in our conversations preparing for this panel, we talked a little bit about the life cycle of tags, how people learn how to tags, and how tags change over time. And so just briefly, if anyone has anything that they'd like to just add in that regard.
There's another vector to that in how people change tagging. Because you watch people, when they start out tagging, they're tagging with a few things. And once the light bulb really clicks, they start using more tags. And Tim Spaulding of a library thing put out some recent research. And his users, once they get up to about 200 products, almost all of them start tagging. So they're trying to keep track of a certain collection of things, and it's like they can keep track in rough ways. But all of a sudden you hit this like limit, and it's like, ah, my brain just can't deal. How do I start pulling things back together? Like tagging my whole collection of books, book no longer works. And so it's, you have to start finding ways to retrieve things more easily, make things more findable for yourself. And it's one of the things, it's sort of one of the difficult issues is when people start changing their own personal vocabulary and based on other people's terminology. And prior to 2004, in August, there, you know, folksonomy was not in Delicious. Mm-hmm. But people were tagging things with tag or tagging. And some of it started changing over. But, you know, how do you go back and re-tag things?
Well, that's interesting. I mean, a personal example of that, I used to have a lot of stuff in Delicious tagged cell phones. And then recently read a book by Kevin Roberts, who's the chair of Saatchi & Saatchi. And he made a point in the book that, you know, calling a cell phone is totally technology-centric and not necessarily use-centric or what you do with the device. And so mobile phones would be a more appropriate, in his mind, term. And I thought about it and was like, right on. And so I actually went back and changed the tag from cell phones to mobile phones. Hopefully it didn't break anything for anyone. Yeah. But
it's, you'll see people where, you know, there's some people who will go back and change tags. Some will go back and add another tag. And so there, you know, if you're going back and adding another tag over time, you're essentially building your own thesaurus and synonyms. It's like, oh, here's what I called things before. Here's what I call things now. And then you can start surfacing things that, you know, are called tag and not folksonomy. And then go back and, you know, don't show me things that I've tagged folksonomy and go at it from that manner. But it's, you know, figuring out what you called things 5 years ago or 10 years ago. And it's like, oh, it was social web. No, yeah, it really wasn't. Mm-hmm. You know, it was a bulletin board.
Mm-hmm. But that's one of the things I love about consummating is that a tag might be or probably will be shared between, you know, 2 to 4 people, and it has extreme resonance within that group. It's not about information retrieval or any of that stuff. It's about flirting and conversation and stuff, you know. Maybe it's only difficult because we're trying to get computers to work with this linguistic system, and that just they're kind of freaking out because it's so fluid, you know.
Yeah.
And just the fact that you tagged something with social web 5 years ago is interesting in itself because it's historic, you know?
Yeah.
Okay. Any questions? No one lined up. Does that mean that no? Oh, thank you very much.
Many brave people.
All right.
Go ahead. I was just wondering if you guys could maybe speak about problem tags or problems with tags. Like, I've never looked on Flickr or consummating for crystal meth, but, like, you know, if you guys have ever had to deal with that kind of thing, you know, personal stories about it, whatever.
Well, just a quick story. Well, people are thinking. My girlfriend tagged one of her photos on Flickr, Voyeur, and it is the most popularly viewed photo of her Flickr set because apparently a lot of people are looking for voyeuristic images. It's not a problem, but it gave time.
What's that phrase about guns don't kill people, people kill people? Tags are just the same, you know. I don't tag any of my photos with voyeur, so I avoid the issue completely, you know. To me, that's a non-issue. Like, there's no such thing as a problem tag. It's only the people who are searching for stuff that are the problem.
It's the Kevin Federline page. When I work with clients, I start showing them that, and they're like, oh, we want tagging, and they essentially want to buy a buzzword. And it's like, here's the reality that comes with it. What would you do with the Kevin Federline page? Would you allow this to, you know, still be all public? You know, this is a product that you're promoting. You may be Kevin Federline. And it's, you know, what do you do with that? And all of a sudden the light bulb clicks on. It's like, we're dealing with real social web, real social issues. It's captured, you know, tongue stopped working. couldn't say the word that I thought I could. But it's like, it works, you know, it's there over time and essentially forever. Nothing ever really goes away on the web. It's all, you can get back to it. And so it's, you know, what do you do with these things? It's like, once it's out there, it's out there. And you start, you know, dealing with it in reality. I'm like, oh yeah, I am talentless, but maybe I can make, you know, $15 million being talentless.
Mm-hmm. You can.
You want to weigh in or next question?
Well, I mean, we do actually have like bad tags where people get tagged abusively or something like that, and we just let people delete them or block people off or block certain tags. But yeah, I mean, it happens, and like you said, it's just, you know, it's people being people, and you have to deal with that. So.
Well, and again, back to the question of how people feel about it. If you're tagged asshole, depending on who tags you that or who you are, you might think that that's hilarious and a badge to wear.
Yeah.
Someone else, you might take offense and be really worried.
Yeah, actually, early on in consummating, I had a sort of embarrassing incident where I saw a woman. She was like 22 and lived in the middle of nowhere, and you know, it was like goth girl, whatever. And she, in the middle of the night, she got like 50 really horrifying tags that I was just like, this cannot stand. You know, she's going to wake up tomorrow and feel so bad. So I went in and deleted them all. And the next morning, she and her friend both complained to me that somebody had screwed up their profile and deleted all the funny tags. Never know. You never know.
So. Next question. I'm wondering if you could talk about any sites that are doing tag-tag relationships, like, pig is an animal, or New York is the same to me as NY. I mean, it seems that I've kind of stopped using tagging as a primary, you know, repository of my own information because of just the sort of low quality of the tag ontology set. So it seems like it's necessary to have meta tag relationships, which of course could also be socially derived. So,
Raw Sugar, their facets, that's essentially what it's doing. And so just by tag combinations and looking at what's in title, a little bit of, as far as I know, what's in the text of what you're pointing to, it'll start pulling stuff back in and saying, you're looking at San Francisco. Well, this is also, here's the hierarchy, California. Did you also want to find things in California near San Francisco? Do you want Bay Area also? Do you want San Francisco music? What is it that you mean? Beat poetry?
And was that vocabulary put in by the sysadmins in the first place, or is that something that you feel can be derived socially, emergently?
They're largely deriving it from other things in their system, algorithmically deriving it. With other options, and based on what other people have tagged and tagged the collections of tags that other people are providing.
All right, next.
Hi. At the company I'm working for, we're adding tags to different products, and we're trying to figure out, one thing we talk about most is how to normalize a lot of the different words for the same thing. And we can do that algorithmically, but I was wondering what strategies you've seen out there, what good examples you've seen of how to get the people who are using it to normalize their tags.
Why do you want them to normalize?
Yeah.
Because when somebody's putting a tag, that's what they're calling it?
Actually, we'd like to use the tags for a better finding experience. And so in many cases, having a lot of different tags for the same word can create a problem in the finding experience.
Can you give me an example of a product that you have where people would use many more words than you expect?
Wow, really put me on the spot there. Okay, for instance, one thing is, say it's products, and you're selling a purse which is black, and it also has silver piping. One thing that someone might put down for color is, or for one single tag, is black with silver piping. Yeah. And it's not a very effective tag, but in our industry, people aren't quite accustomed to tags yet, so we would get something like that. What we would like to do is turn that into, it's a black purse. It's, maybe we'd even like to introduce the concept of a name value pairs and say it's piping equals silver or something like that. But what we want is mechanisms in the interface that encourage that behavior.
You might want to have a look at this cool site called Etsy.com. Do you know it?
Yeah, I love it.
So there's no, predetermined way to describe a black purse with silver piping. People just do it, And I bet you can find a black purse on there with silver piping just by searching the way that feels right, I wouldn't go down the whole we need to normalize route if I were you, but that's
also
just me.
Good examples. Good examples are good.
Mm-hmm.
They're good.
As people are entering tags, you mean?
Yeah. Thank you.
Okay, we have time for one more question, I believe.
Do you guys have any experience with BitTorrent communities? And if so, what do you think? How do you think that they've evolved as far as tagging is concerned?
I don't know.
Okay.
Sorry about that. We have time for one more question.
Glad I stayed in line. Thanks for the great panel. I'm working to bring tagging inside a corporation and to sort of professional organizations, and I wanted to know if you guys had any experience or comments on issues of tagging within very small groups of people, like 300 people who all know each other inside of a corporate organization, and tagging with rather small amounts of content, and any experience you have with that kind of stuff.
Depends on why you want to have tagging, and that's usually one of the questions when somebody says, I want to have tagging. And it's like, you know, if you have small amount of content, what's the value in having the tagging? And
the material that my company produces is used by different people in different ways. And so we're hoping that tagging helps us to understand how people are using material, and also helps independent people who use different material in the same way kind of find each other through tags. So it's sort of the functional application of the material that we produce.
Okay. A lot of it gets down to interface and what people are doing with that. And so going with the scaling, and it's like making a tool that works for the people who are doing the tagging, and it's like allowing them to hold on to things, being able to say, you know, this is the Amfax 5000 broom, but, you know, these people are calling it the clean sweeper. Mm-hmm. And it's like, oh, I want to find clean sweeper, and here's what I'm calling this broom. And you may be selling the Amfax 5000, but, you know, 700 hardware stores are calling it the clean sweeper. And, you know, you're able to take your invoicing and put it in their vocabulary and terminology and make a connection. It's like, oh, we have a marketing opportunity, or, you know, we need to start calling this the clean sweeper unless it's, you know, a trademark term.
Right, that's great. And one sentence question. Have you found a lower limit to the number of people that you need for tagging to be successful? Is it 100 people, 1,000 people, 2 people?
2 people.
All right, that's encouraging.
Or even if it's for personal tagging, 1 person. Yeah. I mean, I tagged just for myself for years before I started tagging for anyone else.
Thank you.
So you guys have been the best audience this panel has had today. Thank you very much.